Well, good morning, church, and Happy New Year. Our first Sunday of the year, can you believe it's 2026? When I was thinking about my thoughts to share with you today, and this being the first Sunday of the year, what I circled back around to and thought that I'd like to share with you is to remind us all how great of a life we have because of our faith and our Christianity and all that God has done for us. Jesus said in John chapter 10, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Jesus said he's the gate, and we all know that through him we can have eternal life. And I'm confident that nearly everybody in here that's listening to this is fully aware of that. But also wanted to remind you of the next part that he had in this, and that was, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." That's for you. You know, it's interesting, some of the different translations, they work trying to find the right vernacular to help get across this idea of having life and having it to the full. To the full is what the New International Version says. A right and a satisfying life is the way it's translated in the New Living Translation. Or may have it abundantly is the way it's in the New English Translation. But the word there also kind of means this idea that it's remarkable and then it's abundant. And the verb that's associated there to have, that they may have life and have it to the full, it's actually the present active subjunctive form of the verb. And what that means, and the only reason I want to say that to you is this. When he said it, he's not talking about the past tense. He's talking about the present tense and the future. When Jesus says to you, "I want you to have a life and have it to the full," he means today and continuing on into the future. Is he talking about our future in heaven? Yes, he is, but he's also talking about today. I like the way that John puts it in chapter 17 when he says, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." I love the way that John writes, and he reminds us over and over that this life is included in our eternal life. The present always blends with the future. Jesus is the gate, and through him we have eternal life, but those aren't necessarily future blessings, they're also blessings for today. So, anyway, that's my sermon in a nutshell. Happy New Year. Y'all ready for lunch? Yeah, I heard a couple of yeses. All right. Not going to be quite that easy. But anyway, that's what I want to share with you today. So what is it that the Christians have that the non-believers don't? What gives us the ability to know that we're saved and be able to enjoy this right, full, satisfying, abundant life? Very simply, it's our faith. It's our faith. Our faith is like a sixth sense. It helps us to see the world differently. We're confident in the existence of God. It doesn't keep us up at night. It comforts us. It soothes us knowing that. Our faith makes the good days sweeter, and our faith makes the challenging days easier and more manageable because we have an eternal view on life. That's one of the beauties that God has shared with us, is to understand how this life fits into his plan with us. A friend once told me that he was going to be gone the following Sunday and he was playing hooky from church. I asked him where he's going to go. And he said, "Well, some friends of ours, we're getting on our motorcycles. We're going out to West Texas and to visit Big Bend National Park." And I said, "Oh, that's great. but you're not going to be playing hooky. When you get out there, God will be there. And then I told him, I said, what you're really doing is you're going to big church. Romans 1:20 put it this way, for ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. You got someone who's looking for God? Well, they can see his invisible qualities, eternal power and divine nature, and so that they have no excuse for God. Our faith will allow us to see nature for what it is. All of creation testifies to the presence of God. You want me to show you a big church? Take a look at this one. Tell me that's not a cathedral. When you stand there and you soak it in, it's screaming the presence of God. Let's go to the next one. All creation shows us the invisible qualities of God. How about the next one? Go ahead, next slide. There you go. This is my favorite part of the sermon, by the way. You know, I go out and I see these things from time, and I have this common thought when I'm soaking it in, and I'm just saying, wow. I wish I could take 15 minutes and put it in a can and take it home with me and put it on the shelf so later on I can pull that can out and pop it open and go back there and enjoy this for 15 minutes. I think that would be pretty cool. One more slide. That slide doesn't show the beauty of that blue color of that. It was just fascinating. Anyway, that's big church. Why do you think we're so attracted to nature? What is it about nature that's so beautiful? It's because through everything God made, we can clearly see his invisible qualities. Our faith allows us to look at the creation and to see the Creator. It's a beautiful gift to be able to stand there and be reminded of that. I like the way that Psalms 19 puts it. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The sky displays his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone through the earth in their words to all the world. That's big church. It can be a pure and deep form of worship by recognizing the one that came so that we can have life and have it to the full. You know, our worship is so much more than three songs and a prayer. And it doesn't end with the closing song. You know, we don't dismiss God. Our worship is a way of life. It's a lifestyle that leads blessings that never stop. And it's the key to enjoying this remarkable life that Jesus has promised and given to us. Our faith makes the good days better. The Christian is empowered in so many ways that the non-believer cannot comprehend. Let's look at some of these verses. 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In 1 John, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. Philippians, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. What else could you want? God's will for you is to rejoice, to pray, and to give thanks. We know that we have eternal life. It's a confidence that will stand any test. We also know that we have whatever we ask of God, a trust in him to provide, and that we can do anything through Jesus. If that won't let you walk with your head held high, I don't know what would. Our faith keeps our perspective on God and eternity. The worldly perspective is simply, he who dies with the most toys wins. But our faith and knowledge of God set us apart by giving us and maintaining a correct perspective. That is, a holy perspective. Our faith helps to make the tough days manageable. So does our church family. Y'all know, 2025 had some tough days in it. And there's many times through the year we rallied together. And we were there for each other. Our faith also helps us in our grief. 1 Thessalonians says, now we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope. You know, as Christians, we definitely grieve the passing of a loved one. But we have hope that transcends the non-Christian's earthly perspective. And as hard as it sounds, we recognize that death is a part of God's plan for each of us. I know that's hard. Hebrews 9 says, and just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment, so also Christ was offered once for all as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who eagerly await for him. We understand death as a transition to the eternal life which God has always planned for us. God wants us to be there with him, and so death is a part of his plan. Jesus said in Matthew 25, then the king will say to those on the right, come, you are blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. Before you were even born, before he created the world, God set up this kingdom for us to enjoy. That's how Paul was able to write to Timothy when he was approaching the end of his life. He said, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Y'all, those without a faith, I can't tell you how difficult of a life they have to live. But God is there for them. And all of creation witnesses to them. It doesn't take faith to see God in the creation. All of creation witnesses to them as all. Their life would become full and abundant if they would simply accept Jesus and live by faith. After all, faith is the basis of our salvation. Ephesians 2, you're familiar with this. For grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves that is the gift of God. There isn't one aspect of our life that isn't affected by our faith in God. Trusting him will lead to a complete and full and abundant life. And to that I say, Happy New Year. You made any resolutions besides not quite eating so much? And how about to always try to look for the Creator when you look at the creation? How about to be reminded that God wants for you to rejoice, to pray, and to give thanks? You want to know how to build your faith? Romans 10 says, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing the good news about Christ." You know, I think Cliff and Tong are leading a class right now on Sunday morning. They're going through the Bible in a year. And you may have seen that, and they thought, okay, we're doing a chronological study of the Bible. But you know what? It's deeper than that. And I trust them in their leadership of this class, and I know it's going to go well. What they're doing is they're helping you build your faith. So that I say, Happy New Year. May 2026 be a huge blessing for you as you live a very remarkable life.